Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Keeping It Real, the live geek web show. We're here on Internet Radio. Hi, this is your host, Eduardo M. Fryer. And you know what? I am relaxing here after a wonderful Pokemon Go community day where shinies were caught, field research and special research was done, and I got to spend time with my wonderful wife and my awesome brother-in-law. In fact, actually, they are here right now. Hey, Trish, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm good. As they say in The Outsiders, I'm golden, Pony Boy. I'm golden. Bill ready to go as well?
Not quite. He'll be here in just a minute.
Okay. Well, you know what? While he's getting ready, just in case, well, to everyone listening out there, especially if you are closely connected to what we're doing tonight, well, first of all, you know what? What did we have for lunch, Trish?
Nachos. We had nachos. Super nachos.
Yep. And you know what? Kind of sort of connected to the subject of tonight, because tonight we are going to be talking about the king of chimichangas himself, Deadpool, and his hit film, Deadpool 2. Well, let's see. What I do want to get into is a little earlier this week, I went on the internet, I did a little video, and what was I doing with said video, Trish?
You were trying to get certain people to come on our show.
Yep. See, a while ago, Honest Trailers did an Honest Trailer for the first Deadpool, and Ryan Reynolds came on in character as Deadpool and was actually interacting with the Honest Trailers narrator guy. So I went online, I went on Facebook, I shared this video also to Twitter, and I said, you know what, Ryan Reynolds, I actually tagged him in it, and I said, you know what, why don't you come on our show? It would be awesome. You did it for the Honest Trailers, guys. I would love it for you to do it for us. You know what, I've constantly been sending out the invitation. I'm going to send it one more time just in case there's anybody out there listening who is, Ryan, if you're out there listening yourself, if anyone who worked on Deadpool 2 is listening to this, you know what, come on the show. We'd love to hear from you. You can do it in character. You can do it as yourself. You can do it as both. Ryan Reynolds, if you want to come on as Green Lantern, you can.
No!
We've been pretty vocal about...
No!
Hey, hey, you know what? I'm being gracious here, okay? I'm sure he doesn't want to come on as Green Lantern either, but you know what? I'm leaving that out there. But yeah,
he fixed the timeline. He couldn't do that anyway. He fixed the timeline. He couldn't do that anyway.
That's true, unless somebody's doing some wibbly wobbly timey wimey, which we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, anyone connected to Deadpool 2, if you're listening to this, or anyone who knows someone connected to Deadpool 2. Call in. The number you can call in is 646-668-2231. We would love to hear from you. I've done my little petition. Is Billy ready to go?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, so, Deadpool 2. Well, first off, I think the first question we should go with, around the table... Thumbs up, thumbs down. Ladies first, Trish.
Two big middle fingers up. Yeah, no.
Okay. Is that good or bad?
That's good, actually, yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're talking Deadpool here, so that's kind of... Yeah, that is one of those things where it's like, I don't know. Okay. Bill, up or down?
Two big thumbs up.
Okay, good. Okay. So So I just realized when I said up or down, that could just – this is a Deadpool conversation. That could go wrong really quick. I don't want it to. But, yeah, I'd have to give it – I'd have to give it two thumbs up, way up, two chimichangas up, two swords that you take off your back and use to skewer somebody up. You know, just – basically, I liked it. I loved it. I want more of it. So, yeah, I think next question, though. Next question I think that we need to cover is, well, I seem to remember that in the lead-in to Deadpool 2 that there was a little bit of, little bit of minor controversy because the director of Deadpool 1 parted ways because he didn't like the direction that things were going, and he thought that one of the successes of Deadpool 1 was just the budget. It wasn't like this, you know, huge skyrocket, sky's the limit. And they were able to succeed with what they had. But, bigger budget. So here's the next question. Do you think that this worked? I mean, do you think it was cool that Deadpool 2 had a bigger budget?
Yes, it definitely. It made it so that they, you know, were able to be a little bit more creative with special effects and throw in a few surprise cameos, and I think they did it right. They didn't go over the top with it.
Yeah, well, they did do one thing. The plot kind of kicks off with something that I know a lot of people complain about. What was it that happened beginning of the movie that some people were like, "What the holy fuck?"
Well, they kind of killed off Vanessa.
That was something that I predicted like months before we saw the movie, and everyone was like, "No, they're not going to do that." Well, they did.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I got to give it to you. You called it. You called it. They killed Vanessa. I was kind of surprised myself. I was like, "Wait, what?" And although I got to give him credit, though, I do have to give him credit that they kept the trademark sense of humor, and in the opening credits, they did call it out. A lot of the credits were just, "What? They actually did that? The fuck?" I think was it the producers or the writers that under the credit it said the real villains here. I think it was the writers.
I believe
it
was the writers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was shocked. I was like, "Holy cow." I know that, first time we saw it, Trish, you didn't like the fact they killed Vanessa off because, what was it you didn't like about that?
Well, okay. So in Deadpool 1, when the whole part with him being tortured into actually, bringing out his mutant side, that part was kind of, sad and depressing and just did not make you feel good at all watching it. But then after it happened, it was like funny from the rest of the movie on, you could laugh at everything and it was, the part was over. But in this, it's like she gets killed in the beginning and then through the rest of the movie, he keeps on, almost dying, and then he gets like sent to this, this area between, worlds, and he sees Vanessa, but he can't get to her. And it's just this constant reminder that she's gone, that she got killed and that he can't be with her yet. And it's just, so it's kind of keeps getting, you get some sadness and then you get to laugh for a bit and then you get sadness. And it's just like, it's kind of like whiplash back and forth. And so
yep.
It was just, it didn't get it all over at once. And then you could just have fun and laugh through the rest of the movie. But I don't know, maybe I was just too sensitive that first time because when we watched it the second time the other night, it didn't bother me as much. So,
yeah.
And it actually, I thought it worked. And I was actually, my opinion of the movie the first time we saw it was like, "Oh, it's okay, but I like the first one better." And now it's kind of changed. I actually do like the second one better.
You actually like the second one better than the first one?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I don't think I like either one like over the other, but here's a question though. Okay, coming off of what you said, would the movie have worked if you removed, say, maybe one of those afterlife scenes? Like, for example, maybe the one in the middle of the film when Wade falls into the frozen lake after getting thrown out of the icebox?
No, wouldn't have worked because every time that happens, she would give him some kind of message, you know, that would apply to what was going to happen next. So,
right.
It wouldn't have worked.
Okay. Well, and it was, you know, I think the, I mean, speaking of the message, what I love is we kind of had a repeating joke from the, that carried over from the first film, which was the fact that, you know, Deadpool narrating in the first film said that was a love story. Here, he said that this was a family picture. Of course, mind you, he said that while Deadpool's, like, eviscerating a bunch of guys and even pointing out that a guy is literally on fire. But, yeah, it seems you have that joke again, and family is kind of that kind of theme is interestingly present, like, in a Deadpool sort of way. You know, especially because the main meat is the fact that he's trying to watch after this kid, Russell. I mean, even in just that first time we meet him, you know, how he ends up kind of almost trying to, you know, to kind of relate to Russell, you know, especially when he finds out that Russell might have been abused in the foster home that he's in. I mean, would you say that's kind of accurate?
Yes.
Now, the other thing, I mean, tying into family, of course, we all saw the previews, we all saw the end credits scene in Deadpool 1. Who was the big guest star for this film?
For this one or for Deadpool 1?
No, Deadpool, this one, Deadpool 2.
What, the cameo? What are you talking, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
No, not the cameo. Who was, like, the big draw? You know, who, like in the first Deadpool, at the end credits scene, Deadpool was like, oh, by the way, this guy's going to be in the sequel. And, you know, who did they push, like, in the trailers?
Oh, you're talking about Cable.
Right, exactly, yeah. Cable's the big one, and... yeah, his whole reason for coming to the past was his family. So even there, we have like a family connection thing because it's all about the family. Although here's the thing, Billy, I'm going to put you on the spot right now because you're a fellow comics guy like myself. What did you think of Cable in this movie? Like, what was your opinion of how they did him?
I thought they did a good job with Cable. I mean, I haven't read a whole lot of comics with Cable, but I know of him from the comic books and stuff, and I thought that they did a pretty good job with him.
Okay, and you like how you like Josh Brolin's casting?
Yeah, I thought that he was the proper person to do it. He really, I think he brought something to Cable that I don't know if anybody else could have. It was more... you just seem more realistic.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read, like, a lot of Cable solo stuff or, you know, things like that. Like, I've basically read, like, when he shows up in the different X-books. But I got to admit, there were some times that I never really pictured Cable being, like, that old. Like, I just thought that, you know, I thought he'd maybe be, like, early 40s. It's just that the white hair and just the fact, you know, the whole grizzled thing is what kind of makes him seem older. But I did like Josh Brolin's performance. I thought he was I did think that he did it right. I mean, that's Cable right off the page. Hell, I even like I even just like his interactions with, like, for example, he comes back in time. First thing he runs into is, like, the first of our celebrity cameos, because we got Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk as a couple of, I don't know, would you say they're redneck truckers?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean,
or just rednecks. Yeah, I don't know if they're truckers.
Well, I think it's like, I don't know. I think like in the credits they say trucker one, trucker two, or something like that. I don't know. They kind of didn't say the word redneck, but it did. Yeah, it did seem that other thing would fit.
Can we just take a moment to just like fully appreciate how awesome Josh Brolin looked without a shirt on? Holy crap! 52 years old and he looks like that. Yeah, that was one of the best parts of the movie.
Don't forget. I mean, he didn't have a shirt, and like half his body was cybernetic. But I'm guessing it's still, yeah. You still get the thumbs up from the ladies.
Wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers.
Okie dokie. Well, okay. Now I know I got to work on my chest, and I got to get some cybernetics going. Ay ay ay.
Jeez. Oh, come on. You know, you would you'd play just the tip with him.
Well, I think part
what about
of
you,
it
Bill?
Is you got to want...
Just the tip? Oh, come on.
Well, hold on, because there's that's not the full question here. Okay. No, because here's the thing. Because there's another question that goes with it, which is, do we really want to know if Cable's cybernetics extend down there? Like, I mean, what's the tip we're talking about here? I mean, you know, seriously.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yep. All right. Damn it! Looks like my wife wants me to become a cyborg. Okay. Well, hey, as long as I get to use some badass BFGs, then yeah. Okay, fine. I'm cool with it. Just, you know, hope it doesn't hurt too bad. I just realized I used the term BFG, and this can go so wrong. Crap. Didn't mean to do it. Shit.
Yeah. How about some of that BFD instead?
Oh, man. Darn it, I set her off. Oh, shoot. I didn't mean to. I swear to God, I didn't mean to. Oh, Lordy.
We've been together how long, Eddie? You should know this by now. You don't give
you know
me
what?
A setup.
Well, you know what? No. You're right. I should know better. It's just that it's one of these things. It's like a minefield that hasn't been fully dug out yet. It's like you think you got them all. You think you have them all. But, you know, inevitably somebody's walking around and you just get boom. And it's like, shit, I missed one. Damn it. Thought I had them all. One of these days, probably. That's what I'm shooting for. But anyway, yeah, we got Josh Brolin without the shirt. And, you know, there's another... You know, this movie, I mean, we're talking Josh Brolin. We're talking the cameo by cameos by Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk as the two rednecks. We also had – well, there was also a surprise cameo because they brought back Colossus, which I thought was – you know, it was like, yeah, come on. You got to bring back Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, giving her a girlfriend, which one thing that I do like about kind of that development – with Negasonic is the fact that it wasn't like a big deal. I mean, do you get what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah no,
he's got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was like, yeah, you know, it just, I mean, we got a little bit and it's like, and Deadpool's kind of like, you know, surprised and she tries to throw shade back and he's like, no, I just didn't know that anybody would date you. Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care that, you know, that she has a girlfriend. It's just the fact that, wait a minute, somebody likes her. And I got to admit, Yukio was adorable and just the perfect foil for Negasonic. Just the fact that she's always perky and happy. I mean, even when Deadpool's like on his deathbed at the end, she's still like, hi. And it was just, I just, wow. I mean, you just, thumbs up. I love Yu-Gi-Oh. I really hope that she gets used in more places. Like, if, you know, like, I hope that they somehow put her in the X-Force movie just so that it could be like, we need something happier. Here's Yu-Gi-Oh. Oh, that's nice.
Speaking of X-Force, there was something that's totally surprising is because in the trailers, they had such, you know, this big emphasis on X-Force. And so I just thought, oh, wow, this is going to be the team that's going to go through the whole movie and stuff. And then what happens? They kill almost all of them. I mean, they're not even in the movie for 10 minutes. And it's just like they all die. It's like, okay, except for one.
Yeah. we'll get to her in a minute. We'll get to her in a minute. I got to give credit to the filmmakers and to whoever did the ads, because if you look at the trailers for Deadpool 2, you have a trailer that's X-Force, and they show the members, well, except for Peter, they show like the rest of the membership in battle, like actually fighting. So it's like, oh, shit, yeah, X-Force, this is going to be badass. So when everybody gets killed, you know, when you have that moment where, you know, they parachute out of the helicopter to intercept the convoy, and they all just, with the exception of Domino, who is just, her power is luck, you know, they all are dying hideous deaths. So it's like, well, wait a minute, but the ads. And I just remember after the movie came out, you know, there was an article talking with the filmmakers, and they said, oh, yeah, we shot footage specifically so it could be in the commercials so that nobody would see what we did coming. And, I mean, I think just what also gets just me, like, just like what, Bill?
Just like Infinity War. If you look at the last commercial they had for that, they have that nice big splash screen at the end of the video of them and Wakanda running through those trees, and you got everyone, including the Hulk, but the Hulk never shows up in Wakanda.
Right, yeah, and they also, and I mean, didn't they also have, like, a shot in the trailers of Hulk apparently breaking out of the Hulkbuster armor?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, they, you know, in both cases, the filmmakers...
Now I don't trust all these trailers anymore.
Yeah, because I remember, I think even like as much as 20 years ago or so, you still had stuff like that, like the movie Highlander Endgame. They actually shot stuff for the trailers that wasn't going to be in the movie. They just thought, oh, this looks cool. So, yeah. But yeah, the X-Force scene, I mean, it's probably one of the funniest scenes in the film, and it's just so, like, totally out of left field. I think, for me, I think the big thing that gets it is, with the exception of Peter, every member of X-Force is from the comics. And, like, for example, Shatterstar, he was one of the first members of the team when the team was created in the comics. So, it's like you see these characters, and you're not expecting them to get killed off, especially in, well, pretty embarrassing ways. Like, I mean, you know, you have Bedlam, got hit by a bus. Zygeist went straight into a wood chipper. Shatterstar went into helicopter blades. Peter landed safely, saw that Zygeist was in trouble, tried to pull him out, and Zygeist, like, super vomit, basically melted him to death. So it's like, wow, this is just, holy shit, what the hell? Like, I just, holy cow. I mean, I still can't get over that. And I mean, I gotta, and also, yeah, I mean, it's like, because you also got Peter, which, I mean, I remember they showed him in the previews, and I was just like, wait a minute, what is he doing there? And I just remember, like, okay, there's going to be some sort of twist with Peter. Like, it's not that he's an ordinary guy. There has to be something else. Like, I was thinking it was going to be a Marvel Comics character who's, like, a British agent named Peter Wisdom, especially because I think his Twitter, like, the character actually had a Twitter handle, and it was Pete or Peter W. So I was just like, oh, shit, it's Pete Wisdom. And it's like, nope, he's just a regular guy. And I think, what was your theory about who Peter could be, Billy? Because I think didn't you have another one?
Yeah, somebody I think on Imager pointed out that they thought that it was what was that a series? It was from a Spider-Man comic where Spider-Man goes into another universe where he meets a Peter Parker there who never got bit by the spider, and the with the exception of the mustache, the comic book character of that Peter Parker looked exactly like this one, like this Pete.
Yeah, plus I remember the comic Earth X, which was another alternate world, you did have Peter Parker gaining like a couple of pounds. So, yeah, that's a good one. I think I saw another theory that said Peter would be that Peter's Vanessa in disguise. That, you know, Vanessa, cuz in the comics, of course, Vanessa has superpowers. She has shape-shifting, and a lot of people are wondering if her powers activated when she was captured in Deadpool 1. And, you know, it would be the thing where, oh, maybe, you know, oh my God, Vanessa's dead. But then it turns out, oh, wait, her powers are activated, and she's in disguise as Peter, and that would be like the big reveal. But, yeah, no, instead it was just he was an ordinary guy who answered the ad, which I think I love the fact that they tied it into also Dopinder's story with this movie, which was the fact where he wanted to be a contract killer. And, you know, when they said, oh, yeah, you're in. We need an ordinary guy. And Dopinder's in the background. He's like, fuck, you know, storming off. I mean, I thought that was kind of a funny little thing.
Well, one of the things that I was kind of hoping might happen is that Peter did have, you know, the potential to have a mutation to give him powers. But he had never had enough stress in his life for it to pop, and then they make him go on this mission, and then he would have had the amount of stress that would make him his superpower come out. I think that would have been funny also.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But definitely, I think the MVP of Hilarious, I think for the whole X-Force scene, would have to be the unexpected cameo, which would be Vanisher. Because, like, the entire time, you don't see him. And then when you see, you know, poor Vanisher ends up flying into power lines. So as he's dying, we see who he is. And, yeah, who do we get, Trish?
Brad Pitt.
Yep. We got Brad Pitt. They managed to get Brad Pitt. And he's in there for a total of, what, 2 seconds? One and a half?
2 or 3 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, 2 or 3 seconds.
It's funny because... Which is funny is because in the movie, you know, that Dopinder keeps on referring to Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, my God, you're right. You're right. Holy fuck, damn. Holy shit. Oh, I just got that right now. Oh, my God. You learn something new every day, children. Wow. See, always learning.
Yeah, and I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking to the writers who wrote Deadpool 2, which were the same guys who wrote the first one, but they asked them, how did they get Brad Pitt to do that? And they said, well, it was just right place, right time. He wasn't doing anything, and we asked, and he said yes.
Well, wasn't he supposed
to,
wasn't he up for Cable? He was up for Cable, and he couldn't do it because of scheduling conflicts, right?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard that.
If I remember correctly, I do believe that that was one of the names thrown out there. Like, oh, what about Brad Pitt? I do remember that the internet was like, no, Brad Pitt, no. So, yeah, they got their wish. We got Josh Brolin as Cable. And yeah, Brad Pitt was still in the movie, though it was kind of shocking how he was in the movie. Not exactly an electrifying performance.
File.
No. Nope, not going to file. Uh-uh. I'm keeping that. No filing. Nobody, nope. No filing. But we will move on, though, because... we've talked cameos, you know, we've talked X-Force, but we haven't talked the survivor. We haven't talked Domino. First of all, I'm trying to figure out how to say the actress's name, because just in case she's listening, I don't want to screw it up, and she's like, oh, you can't pronounce my name. F you, not calling in. Zizi Beats? If you're listening, seriously. What?
That sounds pretty close.
Yeah, which, by the way, Miss Beats, if you're listening, I'm trying here. I really am. Okay, I'm not trying to butcher your name on purpose. I don't know how to pronounce it. I can't find a place online.
She can always call in.
Yeah,
she can
always
call in correct.
Please, which. Yeah. If I need correcting, if Zizi or Zazy, like whichever one is correct. Okay, if you're listening, if you can call in, remember it's 646-668-2231. Call us in. Call us in. Let us know how to pronounce it. I want to pronounce it correctly. Okay, just like it took me a long time to pronounce Chiwetel Ejiofor correctly, and I wanted to do that. I really did, because I love him in Doctor Strange. I love him in Serenity, and I wanted to say the name right. So it's like, and I found out, and now it's in my head, and I want to pronounce her name correctly, because you know what? I love Domino in this. I love it. I love her. She was awesome. I love. I loved it.
Zazy.
Zazy.
What?
Her first name is Zazy.
Zazy. Okay, you found it. You found it. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bill.
But,
wow.
You
okay,
know,
Zazy.
I saw online people were giving crap to her and the makers of the film, because I didn't even notice this, and I didn't even like look for it the second time, but people were upset that the character Domino had unshaven armpits. Who cares?
So what? Okay. My response to that is, so what? Not to mention the fact that, yeah, Domino's like a mercenary, and, you know, why is she supposed to be concerned with the armpits? And honestly, I didn't even know this either. Like, I wasn't paying attention to that, you know, and I know, and here's the thing, because it's like another fanboy thing, which is like, yeah, another fanboy thing was people complaining because when she was cast, because it's like, okay, they made the character African-American, and, you know, I showed you pictures, Trish, of what she looks like in the comics, that, you know, she's got, like, chalk white skin. And, you know, the little thing around her eye is black, dark blue, as opposed to the, you know, African-American and then a white thing around her left eye. But honestly, I was, you know, I thought the look was fine. I thought her look was fine, you know, and I just thought, and she had the attitude. And, you know, yeah, for me, this was Domino. Like, I have no problems with this. You know, I had the first time I saw a picture of her in costume, you know, when it was her and she's in front of the fire and you have Deadpool like a bearskin rug. I was like, no, this works. I'm fine with it. You know, and yeah, I think she killed it. That sequence, the whole sequence with the convoy from like the minute that they, you know, from the minute she showed up at the audition to, you know, at the end, you know, after the whole thing is finished and Rusty's walking away with Juggernaut. I thought she almost stole the show. I mean, for me, I think one of the best sequences in the film is where she's made it. Like, she's actually made it to the ground. You know, her luck powers kicked in. She's actually on the ground, and she's making her way. She's trying to catch up to the convoy, and all this shit is going around her. She's untouched, and Deadpool is, like, talking to her over communications, and he's like, that's not a power. How are you supposed to – how does that work? I mean, even breaking the fourth wall and going, how are you supposed to show that? That's not cinematic. What? How are you supposed to do that? You know, I just thought that was one of, if not the best sequence in the entire movie. I mean, I don't know. Agree, disagree?
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention her versus Cable. I had to laugh. I had to laugh at that though, because I mean, in the comics, they've hooked up before, so, you know, I'm just like, wow, you know, if like in X-Force or like in Deadpool 3 or whatever, they actually have them hooked. They have Brolin and, you know, they have Josh Brolin's Cable and Zazie Beetz's Domino hook up, then I'm going to laugh. I'm going to be like, oh my God,
how
that's hilarious.
I'm just curious, how old is the actress that plays her in real life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know Billy looked up the actress that plays Negasonic, and she was born 2 months after I graduated high school, so that just makes me feel really old. And on IMDb, it doesn't say how old the actress is, how old Zazie is, but I'm just like, come on. I mean, she looks like she's in her 20s, you know, like she looks like she's, you know, maybe like, I want to say 25. And
maybe.
Yeah, come on. That's half Josh Brolin's age. So, I mean, please don't put them together. I mean, I know it's usually not a big deal in Hollywood, but come on. You know, I mean, yeah.
You're just jealous. You're jealous. No, you want that power chest.
Oh, she's 27.
The cybernetics, you want it all for yourself.
27. So, yes, she is exactly half of Josh Brolin's age because he's 52. So, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not exactly.
Okay. Almost.
Yeah.
I still say it's
I
still say it's jealousy.
Not a big deal in Hollywood, but...
I know.
No,
but you're
not.
It's okay to want them all to yourself. It's okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But you know,
it's not jealousy.
Hey,
it's just come on.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. But you know, just hey, if it happens, okay. If it happens, just you know, please don't freak out.
Well,
you know, please don't freak out. Like we're watching.
I just know that it's canon.
Okay. All right.
If
so they're just
following.
Yeah, they're just following comics canon.
Yeah.
They're just following. Although the fact that Cable has a wife and child, like in the future, that probably kind of shuts the door on them doing the Cable Domino romance, unless they decide to have the wife and child get killed again, which I would kind of, I don't know, there's a part of me that wouldn't want that to happen, only because it's like, guys, give him a break. Man, like, poor guy. Sheesh. You know, goes back in time to save his family, and, you know, they get killed again. I mean, it's like, geez. I mean, as is, you know, he's kind of stuck, like, in present day because he used the his little time travel device to go back and save Deadpool, which, yeah, I got to agree with Wade Wilson. He did it for him. Yeah, he's a big softy. A big cyborg softy. Yeah. I just kind of, I'm honestly, it's like a part of me that wants to, like, be on the writing staff for, like, X-Force or Deadpool 3 and just, you know, put a scene where, like, somebody walks in on Cable and he's, like, drying his eyes and they're like, are you okay? He's like, I'm fine. And then, like, they look at the TV and it's like you have the part of, Mom! Or, you know, or like the end of Coco or something like that. And it's like, you know, they're just like, you're crying. You're crying at a Disney movie, aren't you? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You cry at Disney movies. I don't. Yes, you do. Or maybe not a Disney movie. I don't know. What do you think would be an appropriate, embarrassing movie to have Cable cry over? I mean, I'm not talking a man tears thing. I'm not talking the Give 'Em Hell 54 scene from Glory or the end of Private Ryan. No. I'm talking what's like an embarrassing movie. Like, you don't, a guy does not want to get caught crying over this movie if someone walks in the room.
I don't know. What do you think, Phil?
I don't know.
I mean, Bambi is pretty classic, you know, and...
Yeah.
It's classic. It has to be a bad chick flick.
A bad chick flick?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I thought of a good one. Well, I did think of...
Twilight.
Okay, since we're on a Disney kick...
Crying at Twilight.
Crying at what?
Twilight.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't know. But you know what, since we're talking Disney, you know, especially because crossing my fingers that, you know, Disney gets all the Fox superheroes. Yeah, since we're talking Disney, you know, it would probably be like the nuclear option. Well, no, the nuclear option would be Bambi. But you know, it would be another option if you want to have Cable like crying his eyes out and have it be like embarrassing as hell.
Huh.
Although I will admit, this makes me cry. This is one in our top, you know, our like top lists of fuck you, Disney, you made us cry like a baby.
Yeah.
Dumbo. Dumbo, baby mine. Just have that playing in the back. Just like, don't even show. Just you have like the instrumental part of the song going, and like Cable's crying, and somebody walks in, and it's like then you just see, you know, Dumbo, and then the little trunk coming out of the like. Come on. I don't know. Is that like a sweet spot bullseye?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Or, you know, or if you want to go, like, a little bit more modern, the beginning of Up. Like, there you go. That's another one. You do the beginning of Up, and you just have, you know, and it's like, you know, they're teasing him, but it's like, you know, just have, like, Wade, like, looking at the screen. You know, he's laughing at Cable, looks at the screen, he goes, yep, you're crying.
Oh, yeah. No, here, Eddie.
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
They catch him crying watching Inside Out. And then they do a breakaway that shows the inside of Cable's brain with all of his emotions all, you know, fighting against each other.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, all against each other. All fighting against each other. And then you have one emotion pop out that looks just like Deadpool and just goes, what the fuck is going on here?
No, or you know what? Actually, wait. Oh, no. Okay, this would be perfect. Like, you had that scene. You have Deadpool pop out, you know, do the what the fuck is going on here. And then he goes, and then like he just looks at the camera and he goes, well, this is what happens when Disney has our rights. Which
oh,
just,
if Disney
see,
does acquire ne- if Disney does acquire it, they should do something just like that in the next movie.
Oh God, yes. God, yes. Which so right now I'm praying to the geek gods. Please don't have Comcast fuck this up. Because if they do, I already had to deal with Comcast as a cable provider. If I have to hate them because they fucked up the Disney Fox deal, then it's like, okay, you know what? I don't, like, I'm saying this right now. Anybody who's listening, if you work for Comcast, if I'm in a convention or something, leave your work shirt at home, okay? Because I know I'm going to lose it, and I don't want to hurt anybody, okay? So, yeah, if you know where I'm gonna be, you know, if you're coming in from work, have like a spare shirt in the car, okay? Switch out, because again, I don't want to hurt anybody, because I will lose it. Like I will have like an undying hatred for Comcast that will border on like needing to start a jihad. So you know, I'm gonna leave it there because you know what? I think we do have an episode that's kind of somewhere on the list that we're gonna do where we are gonna talk about the Fox Disney deal and everything like that. So I'm gonna leave it here. Let's go back to Deadpool 2. Okay. Happy shit. Excuse me. Happy shit. Okay. Back to happy shit. I'm on happy shit mode. Okay. Happy shit mode. I think we've covered all the cameos, really. Like all the real cameos, because I mean we did have one more cameo,
oh?
But that was like you're right. There was one cameo, well, I would say a basket of cameos that happened all at once. We did have what was like the other surprise, like surprise cameos. We had Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk as the rednecks that Cable ran into. We had Brad Pitt turning out to be Vanisher. Now there was one more cameo. There was like a group that cameoed. What was that?
Huh. Well, it was when Deadpool's in the X-Men mansion and he's going off about like, you know, why are you guys the only ones here? Why aren't there any other X-Men around here? And then as he's going off about this, you see behind him like this, these doors open to a library and it's like all the, you know, the X-Men from like X-Men First Class, you know, and Apocalypse. Yeah. And then Beast quietly closes the door on Deadpool without Deadpool
yep,
noticing.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. I know that first time we saw it, I saw was Beast and I saw that there were people behind him. I think second time I saw it, I think the people that I saw were Beast, Xavier, Quicksilver, Cyclops, and Storm. Like, I think that's the group that they showed.
Yeah.
No sign of Sophie Turner. I know she wasn't there. Was Nightcrawler there?
I don't think so.
I think it was just the ones that I named. Like, I know for sure Xavier was there. I know for
but
sure.
It's just funny that they filmed that little cameo while they were filming the last X-Men movie or the next X-Men movie, whatever one's coming. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, the next one to come out is Phoenix Saga, which I think that was actually supposed to come out this year, but they pushed it to February of next year, which I'm kind of like, oh, yay. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's see Jean Grey turn into a fiery, like, cosmic embodiment of death and rebirth. It's like, oh, okay. Perfect for Valentine's Day. Of course, you know, we really shouldn't talk because what have we seen, like, the past two Valentine's? The 50 Shades movies. So, yeah. I don't know if we should talk or not.
Eddie, speaking of cameos, I guess this one is, there is one more that's sort of a cameo, but really more of a surprise casting, I guess you could say.
Okay. Hit me.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I have an idea, but let's fill the rest of the audience in.
Well, why don't you – well, Bill, why don't you say it? Oh, Billy doesn't know? Okay. Well, there's a certain big, huge bad guy that –
Oh, yeah.
Russell comes in. Well, that's what I said. I didn't say it was a cameo. I said it was kind of a surprise casting. I'm calling it kind of a cameo because the first time I saw it, I had no idea who was doing this character. And so the whole time I saw the character, I kept on going, who is that? I know that person. I know that voice. Who is it? You know, and so it was driving me crazy. And then, of course.
We're talking about Juggernaut, right?
Yes, we're talking about Juggernaut. And we wait for the credits at the end because I'm like, I got to know who is this. And then what does it do? This Juggernaut as himself. And I'm like, fuck.
Yep.
Really?
Juggernaut.
Is it nut or not?
Not. Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Not.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's not. Not.
Juggernaut. Not nut.
Oh,
okay.
O sound. Okay. O sound, Trish. O sound. But yeah, well, we did. Okay. Well, I know that we saw the film, and yeah, it said Juggernaut as himself, and we were all like, "Fuck, who is that?" Well, the cat got out of the bag after the movie came out, and yeah, who is behind? Who's the face behind Juggernaut's big helmet?
That's Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ryan Reynolds supplying the mocap and the voice for Juggernaut. I got to admit, I think, second time watching it, I still couldn't tell. Although there was something about the voice was heavily modulated, but there was just something about the delivery that I was like, okay, I kind of see it now.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of see it, but I just thought, I thought that was real. Like, well, first off, just like how the filmmakers kept the reality behind X-Force a surprise, I thought that the fact that they kept Juggernaut a surprise, because there was nothing, like, I think there was one of the previews that you could kind of see, like, if you know, it's one of those things where you got to pause it and you have to, like, go slow. You could kind of see Juggernaut because you could tell that somebody was fighting Colossus, but they really didn't advertise him. And then just the fact that they had Ryan Reynolds do it and nobody knew until you read it online after the movie came out. Once again, it's like kudos to the filmmakers for pulling that off.
Absolutely.
Talk about fixing the timeline.
Oof, shit. Did you ever?
Vinnie Jones was like a good idea of someone to play the Juggernaut. They just was in X-Men 3. They did not utilize him.
Right. Well, he was
they did
just,
not
well,
do good
that's the problem. Well, okay, they didn't. All right. X-Men 3, they didn't utilize him correctly. They just used him as a dumb tank, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we had, like, no hint about the fact that, like, you know, I mean, it, again, Juggernaut's whole story, the thing that makes him a compelling character is his relationship to Professor X. It's the fact that the two are mm-hmm. stepbrothers. They didn't do that at all in Last Stand. Now, they really didn't do anything with it in Deadpool 2, but at the very least, they had...
At the very least, they were talking about it, like when they're...
Right, yeah.
When Russell and Juggernaut are walking up to, you know, the orphanage, they're actually talking about it, you know? Why do you wear it? Because it's keep your brother out of your head?
It's like, yeah, but he's in a wheelchair, so even Steven. So it's like, oh, see, we're acknowledging that this is the guy's history. And it leaves the door open. Because, I mean, you could have a moment in either X-Men Dark Phoenix or X-Force or something where you have Professor Xavier, there's the Juggernaut, and it's like, hi, bro. No hug. Don't get up. You know, it's like now the door's open. You know, now you can do something with it. So it's like, yeah, I'm not. And here's the thing. I love Vinnie Jones. I think he's an awesome performer. And it's like it's one of those things where I want to be like, God, Vinny, I'm so, I want to give him a hug and say, I am so sorry that you got underutilized in this. I'm so sorry. Come here. Let me give you a hug. I'm so sorry. Of course, you know, he also doesn't look like the type that, you know, he'd probably just be like, oh, whatever you're saying, now stop touching me. But, yeah, I mean, I just, enough about Last Stand. Again, happy thoughts. It's Deadpool.
It's okay. Yeah, we're talking about Deadpool, but it's still okay because Days of Future Past, you know, erased
Exactly. Days of Future Past 6 and also Deadpool 2.
Yeah. All I saw in Days of Future Past, it was the producers basically going, please forgive us for doing that in those last two X-Men movies. We're sorry.
Yeah.
It's no longer part of canon.
Yeah. It's like, good news. Good news, everybody. Last Stand is wiped out. It doesn't exist anymore. We're good. See, look, there's Rogue. She has her powers. She still has her powers. Look, Jean Grey's alive. See, there's Cyclops. We fixed it. Okay, we're all good. We fixed it. That's like, wow. I'm sure that the powers that be at DC are like fucking copycats. Says, yep, we need to fix problems in the timeline. What do? Crisis event! Hit the reset button! Yeah. But yeah, I think, oh, man, and I gotta, yeah, I think we've talked about all these cameos, but we haven't really talked about Russell. I mean, wow, that kid, I don't know, I thought it was, For like a character that's the emotional center of the film and like kind of like the MacGuffin to bring Cable and Deadpool and all this stuff together, I thought he pulled it off. Like I really thought he did a pretty good job kind of just working with his adult co-stars. I mean, what do you think, Trish?
Well, no, he's a good actor. I don't know if he's done anything else. I didn't, look him up.
I
think
it was his second movie.
Is it his second?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think he was in something called, like, The Wilder People or something.
Oh, okay.
But, no, he carried it very, mm-hmm. he carried his part really well. And
oh, yeah.
Wasn't
Definitely.
Afraid to rummage around in there. Do we need to do?
Oh, in the what was it called? The prison.
The prison wallet. Yeah.
Prison wallet. Thank you. I forgot the second part of it. Prison wallet. Prison backpack. Prison fanny pack. I don't know. No, Cable had the fanny pack. And I'm sorry. I gotta agree with everybody.
It's a utility
I gotta agree with everybody.
Belt.
No, that was a. I'm sorry, but if you have that big part in the center with the zipper. No, that's a fucking fanny pack. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I, I don't care what kind of badass mercenary cyborg from the future you are. That's a fucking fanny pack. Okay? I'm sorry. It's a fanny pack. And of course, oh God. And then of course there's the scene with the baby legs. That,
oh my God.
Oh jeez. Oh man. And I know that you guys were hoping that scene would have something else. Because Wade's shirt, that was the Goonies shirt, right? That was Chunk's Goonies shirt.
And he was wearing like Chunk's Hawaiian shirt that he wears, and so I thought that he was gonna stand up and do the truffle shuffle with it, with, you know, baby butt and baby penis going all floppy and stuff, and
yeah. Which I'm glad that they didn't, you know, I'm glad that we didn't have, like, yeah, the baby penis thing was just, that was a running joke during that entire sequence. But I'm glad that, yeah, I think actually that the filmmakers were probably like, you know what, let's acknowledge the baby lower half, but let's not go too far. Because, yeah, I think that may have been one of those things where people would have been uncomfortable. Like, it would have been like, okay, I'm not laughing anymore. It's like, now we're not doing a Cards Against Humanity style laugh. Now it's getting uncomfortable. So yeah, I'm kind of glad that they did.
Bone from Basic Instinct.
It kind of makes me wonder. I mean, it's like, okay, so Deadpool 1, he had the baby arm because of the arm that he cut off. Here in Deadpool 2, Juggernaut ripped him in half, and you know he had to grow like his lower half back. So with the baby lower half, it kind of makes me wonder. It's like, oh crap. What are they going to do for Deadpool 3? Like, what baby body part are we going to do now? I mean, is he going to regrow his head or something? Are we going to have, like, this Deadpool with a baby head opening his mouth?
Or are we going to have the infamous Deadpool regeneration where he regenerated from a pool of blood?
Ooh. Yeah, that's
really
wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, that's okay. I know that I know that they're most ridiculous. Like, I think Wolverine in the comics actually got ripped in half by the Hulk, and Hulk like threw one half like several miles away. So you had like, you know, top part Wolverine crawling like up a mountain to find his legs again. So yeah, wow. Oh, geez. Although I think also got to give, you know what? I think that was another scene, the baby leg scene. I think that was another one where Domino took the cake, where she just walked in and he thinks that she's freaking out over the baby leg thing. And he's like, she's like, nope, I've never seen you without your mask. It's like, holy cow. And we get a call back to like the original, the first movie when Wade and Weasel are like comparing what his face looks like now. Oh man. But oh geez, what else, man? I think this. Oof. Oh, but I think it's. You know, Something though. I mean, did anybody notice what the orphanage was called? Because like I noticed this when we first saw the movie, but did anybody else notice the name of the orphanage?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Billy, did you notice?
It was something like Essex House or something like that.
Essex, yeah, it was like Essex House. And yeah, that's Mr. Sinister. Like, that's his real name is Nathaniel Essex. And I know that didn't. And then like, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, didn't they have a scene with a bunch of guys going through the Weapon X facility, and you know they're collecting blood samples, and there was like a box or something. There was like some container or something, and it said Essex Corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that was supposed to be like, a lot of people were like, uh-oh, is that leading into to the movie Logan, or is that going to lead into the next X-Men movie? So, yeah, I see that. I was kind of waiting. Like, I was kind of waiting on, like the, there was that orderly, the one that Deadpool shot in the head when he found out that Russell had been abused. Like, his whole pasty complexion, I was wondering if that was Sinister in disguise. I was waiting for the headmaster, you know, of the orphanage to turn out to be Sinister. So I'm kind of surprised we didn't get that reveal. Although, or is it something that they're kind of, this was an Easter egg and this is kind of something for later? Because I don't know. I mean, you know, this, all this talk of Essex, it just, it doesn't, like, I'm kind of wondering, is this supposed to be anything?
Maybe, who knows? You know, there's always Easter eggs everywhere.
Yeah,
who
true.
Knows, maybe,
I mean, and we'll just...
Who knows? Maybe he will be the bad guy in the next X-Men movie.
There you
or
go.
Maybe they'll,
I think...
Or maybe they'll lay the groundwork for him to become, you know, the Mr. Sinister that we know. Like, could be his
maybe.
Transformation.
Maybe. Maybe. And I mean, and who knows? I mean, they may even tie it into Weapon X skin. Which, by the way, I think, I think that, yeah, it's probably the best part of the movie, though. You know, the absolute best thing that the movie brought out would have to be the end credits sequence. Because I know that some advanced reviews called the end credits sequence probably the best post-credit scene in a comic book movie ever. I mean, what do you think?
Oh yeah, it was amazing. It was so funny. The,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, it starts off with, you know, Negasonic and Yukio. They're like fixing Cable's time travel device, and they give it to Wade, and then they're like, and Negasonic's like, what did we do, you know? And then it flashes back to the beginning scene with him and Vanessa, and he actually kills the guy before he can kill Vanessa. So
that brings
Vanessa back. She didn't die after all. And then he's like, okay, well, you know, I'll be right back. So just clean up the timeline. And here, Bill, you take the next one.
And then he jumps to the scene where X-Force all dies, but instead of us seeing the rest of X-Force being saved, he just tells Peter to walk away. Let's call him Sugar Bear. Walk away, Sugar
Walk
Bear.
Walk away, Sugar Bear. Walk away.
And then the next one, he flashes to X-Men Origins Wolverine when we see that messed up Deadpool for the first time, so does Wolverine. And then a gun just comes out of nowhere and shoots that Deadpool in the head, and then we see our Deadpool step out and say, just cleaning up the timeline, and starts unloading the clip into that Deadpool.
which, by the way, I mean, yeah, that was, I think we could, that one, I mean, I know we've been counting off all the cameos, and really, it's like that one's kind of a cheap cameo because it's archival footage. But yeah, and then the one that really made me cheer out loud, who wants to talk about the last one, that last part of that end credits sequence? Bill, Trish, who wants to take
it? Why don't you do it, Eddie?
Okay,
you
say. Yeah. Well, see, I'm going to take this one because, everybody, one of the things that I'm very vocal about on Twitter is and on social media is I'm a huge fan of Green Lantern. And I think we've said it on this show how much I despise the Green Lantern movie. And it makes me cry. It makes me cry tears, like finding out Santa's not real. The last part of the end credits sequence, we have Ryan Reynolds sitting at home. He gets a script. It says Green Lantern. He's all set to read it. and a shot rings out. The script gets blood splattered.
It's more like he just got done reading it because he says, "I finally hit the big time."
Yep, and he gets capped in the head. No Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern. And I'm sorry, I love Ryan Reynolds. I love you, man. I really do. I don't blame you for Green Lantern. I really don't. It's not your fault. It just did not work. So yeah, I'm sorry, but I had to say this. I think it was on the Great Basin Geek spoiler group, and I think I put this on Twitter, like, without any explanation. But, like, the words out of my mouth, you know, first of all, I remember cheering when I first saw that sequence, and I was just like, thank you for fixing the two worst mistakes in, like, superhero movie history, if not film history, period. I mean, it's like, thank you for just, like, thank you, Deadpool 2, for just erasing them. Like, they never happened. There, timeline fixed. We're good. It's like, I was just like, thank you. Thank you, God. You did what we were all thinking. Thank you. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. God bless. I mean, I was cheering. I mean, a part of me feels slightly bad because it's like, I don't wish plague or pestilence on Ryan Reynolds, but it's like, just seeing the Baraka Deadpool from X-Men Origins Wolverine, and, you know, seeing, like, the blood splattered Green Lantern script, I'm just like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. See, you can use time travel for good. Oh man, did I go too far? I don't know. Am I being too happy about this? Or not enough, or is it just right? I don't know, be honest.
It's just right.
Just right? Yeah, just right. Okay. I don't know. That took a bit there. I don't know. Were you kind of trying to ponder it over?
I accidentally hit the mute button. So I kept on going, it's just right. It's just right. It's just. And then I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, crap.
Okay. Okay. Are you sure? Because, I mean, if you were saying something else, I mean, you could be honest. If I went overboard, that's fine. I mean, I want to know. Seriously, I do want to know because, you know, I do want to curtail myself. Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, thank God. Okay. But, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, geez. But yeah, you know what? Around the table, final thoughts. Deadpool 2. Trish?
Oh, really good. I will definitely be buying it when it comes out. And yeah, no, it was really good. I look forward to seeing where they're going to go next. Because, I mean, is Cable going to be around for a while now? I mean, I know that he fixed the time travel things, but technically he could go back to his time. But
yeah,
is he supposed to stick around?
Well, the next movie is going to be an X-Force movie. And it's been confirmed that at least three of the members are going to be Cable, Domino, and Deadpool. So he's sticking around. Because remember also, Wade didn't give him back the time thing. You know,
That's true.
We saw, you know, Wade was using it to fix mistakes. And the last use we saw of it was when Deadpool went back and he killed Ryan Reynolds before he could do Green Lantern. So, Billy, what about you? Final thoughts, DP2.
Good movie. Really funny. I really liked it. Saw it twice in a 24-hour period, so yeah, I really like it. And I'm just can't wait for Deadpool 3, but I know they're waiting until after the X-Force movie comes out before they go to writing Deadpool 3. But, oh... there's one thought that I had, and that was in Deadpool 3, making Vanessa possibly Lady Deadpool. And I just thought of the most Deadpool way that it could be. Well, her and Wade are trying to have a baby, so I say that while she's giving birth, she doesn't die giving birth to their child, but the stress of it, and because as they would explain it and how I thought in my head, and because she has so much of Wade's, let's say, DNA inside of her because they're having a baby, that the stress from having the baby makes her mutant powers pop.
There you go. Hey.
And then that is a way we can have Lady Deadpool, and then also their child, you know, grows up to a certain age, and their mutant power pops naturally. And same thing, then you can also have, wasn't there like a like child Deadpool?
Yeah, kid Deadpool.
Yeah, kid Deadpool.
Well, there you go. Make it a family affair.
Yeah.
Actually, what would, you know, if hopefully, if the deal goes through and Disney gets back all the Marvel characters, what would really be awesome is since now they'd have the, you know, the Spider catalog and the X-Men catalog, it would really be awesome if, like, they put in Gwenpool. Because just imagine, like, Deadpool and Gwenpool, and then just the entire movie jokes about, like, you know, bridge jokes. You know, it's like maybe they're crossing, you know, they're crossing something, and Deadpool's like, are you sure you want to come with me, Gwenpool? I mean, we wouldn't want you to fall off. You know, and she could just be staring at him and just like, just drive, asshole. Or, you know, or you know, they could have to jump, and, you know, Deadpool could be like, do you want me to push you? Are you sure? Because I could push you, or is that too much? You know, and she could just be staring at him. I don't know. It's like the doors could just open up. Or hey, you know, maybe not Lady Deadpool, maybe we finally have Vanessa get her shape-shifting powers. It's like, I don't know, you know, hey, here's hoping. Of course, you know, yeah, before Deadpool 3, we got X-Force coming in, and I know, Billy, you said that you were hoping that with X-Force that they bring everybody back that got killed off, and they just explained that, yeah, that was part of because of Wade's timeline fixing. If they can't get everybody back, I would just hope that they would kind of reference that, you know, just like maybe Deadpool volunteering. It's like, hey, I could lead the mission. And Cable just looks at him and goes, no, thanks. We don't need half the team in body bags or just something like that. You know, maybe Deadpool saying something like, to be honest, only a couple of people needed to be in bags. Because, I mean, you know, yeah, we need a bag for Vanisher, but, hey, Shatterstar and Zeitgeist filled, they were, you know, we could put them in just a little trash bag and they were fine. It's like just something like that. Like, here's hoping that there's some acknowledgement to the fact that Deadpool's first go at it just ended horribly. Of course, I'm also thinking it's like, who the fuck do you have left that you can put in? I guess you could do Cannonball, because I think they haven't used Cannonball yet. I don't think they've used Boomer. I don't think she's shown up. They could do Siren. I mean, yeah, she showed up in the second X-Men movie, but that's pre Days of Future Past. So, hey, you know, recasting time. I don't know. Shit, who else? Skids. That's another one. I don't know. There's like I think there's a ton of people they could probably stick in and use for X-Force. Actually, I wouldn't even mind if they had Cable six pack. Not like I'm not talking that kind of six pack, Trish. Heel. not that. Cable actually had one of the groups that Cable led was a mercenary group that was called the Six Pack, or was also called Wild Pack. So yeah, not talking about that six pack, Trish. It's okay. Stop. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about him shirtless.
Now I am.
About him shirtless. Okay. See there. Okay. There you go. Yeah, she admits it. Although you know what? It's my fault. I should have said Cable's Wild Pack. That was my. That one's on me. My fault. Entire. I take the blame for this one. Okay. Yeah. That was me. Sorry. That's yeah. I'll take that one. It's fine. Oh, but yeah. And, well, yep, I do notice we have, you know, we have, like, a few minutes left. I have noticed that, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't see any calls coming in from any numbers I don't know. So I don't know. It's looking like maybe we haven't gotten our hands. Maybe it doesn't look like any of the cast is going to call in. But you know what? I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to lay it out. It would have been cool. It would have been cool. But you know what? It's okay because, you know, there's a part of me. I've worked as an extra. You know, I've worked in performing. I understand, you know, schedules get busy. You know, people have things that they do. You know, they can't break away from them. And you know what? I'm okay with it. And, you know, sometimes you got to shoot. You got to shoot for the stars. You gotta go big or go home. And, yeah, I went big. I invited them on. It kind of looks like they're not coming on. But you know what? It's okay. I'm cool with it because, hey, have we been having a good time? We've been having a good time talking about this because I've been having a good time. Yeah. So you've all had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I think that's end of the day, that's, you know, I'm fine with it. It was, you know, it was a good, this was a good review. We had an awesome time. We joked. Now I know that if I wake up in the middle of the night and I hear my wife murmuring and she's going, Oh, Josh. Oh, the hand is so shiny. If anything else shiny, then yeah, I know what happened. She's picturing Josh Brolin shirtless with the cable arm and yeah. You know what? I can't even.
Cable, you need anything else that shines?
Yeah. And you know what? I can't get
Holy
mad.
Crap,
I can't get mad. I can't get mad. He worked out. Yeah. He worked out.
But you know what's crazy?
Josh Brolin worked out to get it.
It's like, you know, the first time I saw Josh Brolin was in Goonies. And I never, you know, I was really young when that came out. So I never thought of him in, you know, like, oh, he's cute or any kind of way like that, you know, and stuff. And so I've never really, and anything else I've seen him in, you know, I've never really been like, oh, wow, he's hot, you know. But then this movie comes along and it's like, holy crap.
Yep. Of course, you know, Trish, something that could derail your dreams of Brolin. Remember,
what?
This isn't the only superhero. Well, remember, this isn't the only superhero movie that he's done within the past couple of months.
No, I know.
Because he also did Infinity War. He was Thanos. So I mean, you know, I gotta warn you. There's like a big possibility that you're having a dream. Josh Brolin's supposed to be there, and it turns out to be Thanos. It's shirtless Thanos.
You asked for me.
No, you're not Josh Brolin.
Yes, I am. He just brings up the. And you were saying about shiny arms, and he just brings up the gauntlet, you know.
I'll be paying attention for that too. Wake up in the middle of the night, and you know, Trish is like, "That's not the Josh Brolin I want. I'll just know it's like, oh crap, there was an accident instead of Cable, she got Thanos. Well, you know, that's okay. But hopefully, I just hope, Trish, that dream for you is over in a snap.
Oh, you're horrible.
I just hope that if you end up having that bad dream that, you know, it'll just fade from your memory like dust in the wind.
in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, I just realized that Brolin's been both in the Marvel and the DC universe.
Really? What did he do? What did he do in DC?
He played Jonah Hex.
Oh, God. I had forgotten about that movie. About that movie. And now I remembered. And there's like one bit of... Okay, so you know what? Trish, there you go. Billy avenged you because I'd forgotten about the Jonah Hex movie and... He reminded me, and now there's, like, one less piece of joy in the world. And it's like, oh, God. Okay. All right. Okay. You got payback. We're even. If you'll excuse me for juggernauting for a minute.
Even Steven.
So there you go. We're even Steven. And you know what? And fortunately, you know, I've been watching Legends of Tomorrow, and we've got the guy who played Jimmy in That Thing You Do, he's been Jonah Hex, and he's been an awesome Jonah Hex. So, you know, at least there's that. So I just gotta if you know, the awful Jonah Hex movie comes in, I just gotta close my eyes and go, Legends of Tomorrow, Jonah. Legends of Tomorrow, Jonah. Legends of Tomorrow, Jonah. Legends of Tomorrow, Jonah. Until it just, like, the movie Jonah Hex just fades out and just be like, Josh Brolin is Thanos and Cable. Josh Brolin is Thanos and Cable. He's not Jonah Hex. That's the guy from That Thing You Do. The guy from That Thing You Do. That other movie does not exist. No. Put it in a box. Put it in a box. Put it in a box. Put the box in the ground. Okay, cover up the dirt. Cover up the dirt. Okay, put the cement. Put the cement. Okay, there you go. There you go. Polish it over. Okay, build something over it. Okay, there you go. It's the building. No sign of the Jonah Hex movie. It's that nice, pretty building. It's another Raising Cane's. There you go. Another Raising Cane's, and it's something good. It's something good built on the foundation of that piece of crap movie. There you go. We're good now. Perfect. There you go. Got the image. I'm cool. I'm good. I swear. I'm good now. I'm cool. Seriously. All good. But yeah. So, I think I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna now jump and I'm gonna say, you know what? Yeah. I think I'm going to talk about what we're talking about next week. Should I let the audience know what we got next week, Trish?
Why not?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Next week, you know what? We're going to have another movie review. I know. You're probably like, what, another one? Well, yeah. But you know what? We're going to get away from, potty mouthed assassins / mercenaries who kill off their teams like within the first couple of minutes. Yeah. We're gonna go from Deadpool 2. We're gonna go to a galaxy far, far away because we're gonna be reviewing Solo, a Star Wars story. Okay, so yeah, we're gonna be reviewing that. And I gotta say, you know what? And we may even talk a little bit because I know I posted a video on Let's Be Reals on Facebook where I talked about this. We're gonna talk a little bit about the fandom, especially because that was talked about a lot. As far as Solo was concerned and how it affected Solo's performance. So, yeah, another review is coming up, and, yeah, we're going to have to sit down. We're going to be reals about the fandom. So just warning you right now because I may get into, instead of fun geeky mode, I may be getting into lecture mode. So warning everybody right now. There might be a lecture attached to it, okay? So just letting you know right now so you don't get shell-shocked, okay? Because, you know, yeah. There's going to be some fandom talk, okay? But you know what? Hold on, because you were switching to happy mode now. Okay, back in happy mode. Because, yeah, we're going to be rounding out the month with some happy stuff. Trish, you know what? This is in your wheelhouse. Because what is in 2 weeks? What are we talking about?
We're talking about Incredibles 2.
Yep, which is Disney, which is, of course...
And Pixar Pier.
And what else? Yep, Pixar Pier, which should be... That's... correct me if I'm wrong, but does that not... That opens up, actually, like a week from today, doesn't it?
I think so. It opens on the 23rd.
Yeah, so that's a week from today. So, yeah, a week from today, Pixar Pier opens. And you know what? I'm going to take the... let's take the time out, because we got a few minutes... Trish, what do we want our list? We need something from our listeners, especially our Disney fan listeners. What would we need them to do for our show in 2 weeks' time?
We need someone who is actually going to be going to Pixar Pier. We need someone to call into the show so they can give us their review of what they think of the new theming, and also the Incredicoaster, how they've changed California Screamin'. I would really like to know what they did with that. And then just their overall impression on what they think of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, anybody listening who's a Disney fan, this is in 2 weeks' time, okay? 2 weeks' time, we are going to be doing Incredibles 2 and Pixar Pier. And yeah, for that show, if you go to Pixar Pier, you know what? Call in, let us know. We want to hear your thoughts, your opinions. Did you go on the Incredicoaster? What did you think? How is it compared to its previous theming of California Screaming? Did they keep NPH in there somewhere? Because
damn it, I know it's Incredibles, but I would love it if they still kept NPH's voice somewhere in there. I mean, honestly, please, because that would just be awesome. Because Incredibles plus Neil Patrick Harris. Come on. That's just, seriously. Yeah, that would be awesome. But, you know, yeah. Basically, if you go to Pixar Pier and, you know, you want to call in, give us your impressions, please call in. And you know what? Don't worry about it if you forget, because as it gets closer, we will be posting on social media. We'll be like, hey, Disney fans, you know, call into our show. Let us know what's going on. So, you know, don't worry. We'll remind you. We'll remind you. So, you know, don't worry. You know, no problems. No problems. So if you're like, oh, holy shit, I wanted to do the show and I forgot. Where am I supposed to call in? We'll post the number. We will post the number. We'll post the link to the show, like, you know, to the Blog Talk website, so that, you know, you can listen in, you know, while, you know, right before you call, and you'll be like, oh, this is the perfect chance. And you can just call in. You know, don't worry. One of us will be on the switchboard. And, you know, we'll make sure you get in. So, you know, don't worry about it. But yeah, we'll remind you. So, you know, no worries. No worries. You are in our capable hands. Okay, so no worries. But yeah, we'll need your help, Disney Files. But yeah, in the meantime, yeah, back to and as for July, well, you know what? I'll get back to you about July, because we have some ideas. We have some things. There are already some show topics. We'll get to that. But believe me, we've got a nice big bucket of stuff for this show. We're not gonna run out of topics, believe me. I mean, I have some, Trish, I think you have stuff that you would love to talk about on this show. You
know, oh yeah.
Hell, I'm sure. Oh yeah. So, you know, don't worry about us. Don't worry about us. I mean, yeah, we've only talked about the next 2 weeks, but don't worry. We've got stuff beyond that. And, you know, and hey, if there's anything convention wise, we'll let you know. You know, anything else? Don't worry. Like, don't worry about it. We will keep you posted. So, you know, just relax and enjoy. But that's it for this. And yeah, I kind of notice we're kind of coming up on the 2 minute warning. And yeah. Still no Deadpool 2 cast, but like I said, it's totally fine. I mean, I don't, you know, not mad, not disappointed, not, you know, it's, hey, no worries. Although, I don't know, maybe, I mean, I kind of keep checking the switchboard. Maybe the Vanisher called in and, like, we couldn't see in it.
That would have been nice, but
yeah,
it was a
you know what?
Shot with that.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? That last Vanisher joke, I'll file that one. That one I will file. Because, yeah, I don't know. I just want to throw in a Vanisher joke. I mean, it's, yeah, you know, it just didn't hit. You know, some jokes just land, and others, you know, they don't. You know, not every joke is like, I'm not filing that one. Sorry.
You should.
Not going to.
Totally.
I'm keeping that one. Nope, keeping it. And on that happy note, this is your host, Eduardo M. Fryer. Not quite a merc with the mouth, but yeah, I think I could take Deadpool on in a non sequitur, fourth wall breaking conversation. And yeah, my beautiful co-host, my lovely wife,
Patricia Fryer.
Yep. And yeah, my awesome brother-in-law.
Who's in the bathroom now? So sorry.
Okay.
Helm.
Well, Billy Helm, my awesome brother-in-law, who decided to run to the bathroom. But, you know, hope he's okay. Does he need a magazine?
Oh, I'm sure he's falling down a YouTube hole. So.
Oh, okay. Because I mean, if he needs a magazine, because I threw the paper out. I already threw today's paper out. But, you know, we have the Star Wars books. We still have the Art of Star Wars books that are under the TV. I mean. You know, we could just knock on the door, slip one in there. You know, hey, do you need anything to read? Here, take this. You know? But yeah, you're right. He probably has fallen down a YouTube hole. It's easy to fall down a YouTube hole. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I go on YouTube. I'm like, oh, let me check on this video. And then there's like, you know, the sidebar. And I'm just like 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh, fuck. Why did I get online to begin with? Fuck. Shit, I wasted time. And we're out. Yep.
Wow.
That was, oh, cool. That was really cool. Oh, man. Thank you, guys. Really. Thank you. That just,
yeah.
Oh, that was better. That came out good. That came out really good. And I'm glad. I'm really glad. That was, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I didn't want it to be the two of you guys having to back me up, but that was an awesome job. So yeah, let me close up stuff over here, and I'll be right downstairs. I think I might try eating something. I mean, I just, you know, just because,
yeah.
I need to have dinner sometime. But yeah, I'm just going to do maybe soup and those tenders. And I don't know, I may either, do we still have any tzatziki or has that gone bad?
It probably needs to be thrown out, but.
Yeah, so I might just use the mustard. I might just use the aioli. But anyway, I'll be downstairs in a minute. I'm just going to close
right,
the shop over here. But yeah, again, thanks for your help. I mean, yeah. And like I said, I won't get mad if you have Josh Brolin cable dreams. I can't. He worked out and it shows. It's like, I can't get, damn it. Damn it, my wife is going to fantasize about you. I can't get mad.
Shit. All right, I'll see you in a minute.
I'll see you in a minute. Yeah. Bye. Love you.